Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. You've been told things which were hard to believe, I'm sure. If it was family or dear friends who told you preposterous things, assuring you it was true, you perhaps gave them the benefit of the doubt. Or maybe you didn't. Maybe, like Thomas Didymus, whom we met yesterday, you demanded verifiable, pragmatic proof for outrageous claims, even if they were made by friends. That's what Thomas did. By the weekend, 1 week later, after that famous Passover Easter weekend, I presume most people had taken one side of the rumors or the other. Either they had believed the claim that the dead body of Jesus had been stolen out of the sealed, guarded tomb, even though no one could produce the body as proof, or they had believed the preposterous story some people were spreading, that Jesus was alive. Healed from his beating and crucifixion, Jesus was supposedly raised from the dead by God and had been seen last Sunday by several people in several different places throughout that day. The problem was, none of those people could prove it by showing the resurrected Jesus to anyone. Jesus had not been seen since last Sunday, so most people probably discounted both rumors and were going on in life putting it all behind them as a non-event. Even friends of those who claimed the resurrection were beginning to doubt. Thomas was one of the disciples, a good friend to several other disciples, and he had believed Jesus and had grown deeply committed to Jesus. But Thomas was brokenhearted at the news of the crucifixion death of Jesus. What a terrible way to die. But John assured Thomas it was true. John had stood there with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene through that horrible Friday a week ago, until finally a soldier thrust a spear in Jesus' side and a flow of blood and water had spewed out. Jesus was dead, no doubt about it. His body had been taken down and wrapped by two courageous Pharisees who had become followers of Jesus. John and Mary had followed them as they took the body to a nearby garden where one of them had a new tomb. A large rock was rolled in place to seal that tomb after the body had been placed inside. Thomas believed it. Jesus was dead and buried. But now he was hearing preposterous stories, and as much as Thomas wanted to believe them, it was important to Thomas that he not be duped, even by friends. So Thomas had said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." John 20:25. Each day during this last week after Passover Easter, those friends of Jesus were alert. Every moment they were awake, watching, listening, desperately wanting to see Jesus make another appearance. But now it's the weekend and nothing. With each passing day, the questions mounted in their hearts. Why did it all happen? What did it all mean? Would they ever see Jesus again? If so, when and where? What should they be doing in the meantime? These were all men who had left their jobs and families to follow Jesus. Was it now time, 1 week later, to leave it all behind and return to Galilee and their fishing nets, their fields, or whatever work they could find? I wonder if you are like me in that you like anniversaries. Do you like to remember what happened in the past? Last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? Evidently, on the one-week anniversary of the resurrection, Sunday 1 week later, the disciples came together again, and I presume also with them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, and perhaps others. They came together to remember and to each share their personal encounter with the risen Jesus and what they had been doing this past week. John records it this way. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." John 20:26. Let's stand over there, my friends, and watch. None of them expected what is happening. They had no warning Jesus would show up again, but they can't deny what they are seeing and that they have heard the resurrected Jesus speak to them. Look at them, frozen, unable to move or speak, not even able to blink. Jesus paused a while, looking at each of them, smiling, holding out his nail-scarred hands for them to see. Then Jesus turned to Thomas, and looking right at him, opened his hands to Thomas, and with such a kind voice said, "Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it here into my side." What words describe what you think Thomas felt and thought in that moment? Finally, Thomas took the hands of Jesus and rubbed his finger over the nail scars. first one hand, then the other. As Jesus pulled back the fold of his robe, exposing the huge gash scar in his side, Thomas touched it, and then, overwhelmed, fell to his knees. As Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." The tone of his voice, the look on his face, Jesus was not condescending, not judgmental, not critical of Thomas, not even disappointed. It was the same look, the same tone of voice Jesus had used when he first invited Thomas to come and join the disciples. It was hopeful, anticipating great days ahead. Jesus was inviting Thomas to believe, not demanding, not challenging, inviting. Thomas wrapped his arms around Jesus, and Jesus did the same, and they stood there arm in arm for several moments. Thomas could be heard saying, "My Lord and my God." The smile on Jesus' face was something to behold. Can you see it? Jesus looked around at all those he so deeply loved in the room. Then, as Thomas began to release his grip on Jesus, Jesus said something none who were present will ever forget. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed." John 20:29. Yes, these in the room had told several people that week what they had experienced last Sunday. But it was so hard to believe. Resurrection was simply beyond the realm of imagination for most people. Lazarus was one who didn't need any convincing. Mary and Martha, too, believed. But for most everyone else, like Thomas, they needed more. And this was more. Now everyone in the room would be able to tell a second story of their encounter with the risen Jesus. How long Jesus was with them in that room that second Sunday evening, we don't know. What they talked about is not recorded. But John wrote this: "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John 20:30-31. There it is, my friends. John and Thomas and Peter and everyone else who was in that room or had been part of the journey with Jesus, they all beckon you and me and every person to consider the resurrection miracle and trust Jesus to be your Savior as they did. Right here, right now, do as Thomas did. Speak to Jesus. Declare Jesus to be your Lord and your God and experience the life change Jesus will accomplish in your life. And here's a new worship song to help us celebrate the wonder, the reality of what God accomplished through Jesus that Easter weekend.